ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You ever watch the news and think, whoa, this seems...
unprecedented?
Unprecedented.
It's unprecedented.
This has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
I'm Matt Bevan, and my show, if you're listening, is about finding times that what's happening now has happened before and figuring out what we can learn from it. Learning from history. I mean, who could imagine? New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
When things turn into a something gate, it's never good for politicians. And so it was for Anthony Albanese this week, with no other than Melon Gate. Today, ABC writer and presenter Annabelle Crabb on how it all unfolded. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Here I am, at the Prime Minister's house in Canberra.
Annabelle, we better start by giving our listeners a sense of what this Bush Deep podcast is, which the Prime Minister appeared on in early May. Well, even more than that, he invited the host into the lodge. Just give me a sense of what it is.
Well, Bush Deep is a podcast that's presented by a comedian called Nikki Osborne. Her character is called Bushy. She's a kind of larrikin lady comedian. She interviews people, usually more like popular culture sort of people, and she's sort of dressed in a safari type outfit, and she drinks whiskey and asks probing questions.
I must admit, I'm quite nervous. So doing the thing to calm myself down, and I'm just imagining you naked.
Okay.
It's a comedy podcast, but it's got a certain following.
And pretty early on this interview, Annabelle, about 2 minutes in, the Prime Minister is asked about the worst gift he has received. And you better walk me through this because there's these hand gestures involved.
Sure. And as always, it's the context and the mood and the vibe that is as controversial as the words spoken. So Bushy asked the Prime Minister, what's the most crap gift you've ever been given on a foreign visit? And the Prime Minister's kind of a bit stumped.
Oh, gee. Here's something I got recently here that was pretty strange but ended up being quite good.
Yeah.
Was a melon.
And he talked about the recent visit of the Japanese Prime Minister, Sanae Takaichi, and he said that he was given a melon, which is true, he was. And Bushy, the character, says, oh, how did he smuggle that in to Australia? And the Prime Minister says, she.
Yes.
It's a she.
It was a she?
She?
Did she smuggle it?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm expecting.
Got a couple of melons.
She brought two.
And making a hand gesture, essentially suggesting how a female might bring melons into Australia, right? Mm. So she's doing the whole boob weighing kind of hand gestures. The Prime Minister, I mean, it's absurd now to be slicing and dicing hand gestures to this degree, but
yes,
here is where we are. The Prime Minister says she brought two.
She just came in looking like Pamela Anderson.
She brought two.
Yes, really.
And they're beautiful.
And then he puts his hands up. I would say that they are a little bit more perpendicular than the full breast weighing kind of gesture that was attempted by the host of the podcast, and here we are. So the weird thing is that the initial headlines out of this podcast interaction weren't about the Japanese Prime Minister at all.
Mm.
They were about some comments that were made a little bit later in the podcast where the host asks Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister, to participate in a game of shag, marry, date.
Shag, marry, date. Kylie Minogue, Nicole Kidman, or Rhonda Birchmore?
I've just got married. I'm only 6 months in.
But if it goes tits up, let's just pretend.
Oh, Kylie, clearly.
You'd marry Kylie and shag her and date her?
All of the above.
All right, it's a triple.
She's terrific.
All right, that's fair.
And that was the initial thing that people blew up about.
Yes.
Oh my God, you know, disrespecting an Australian legend and so on.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has apologised for agreeing that he'd shag Kylie Minogue.
He apologised for that one pretty smartly and in a short written statement. Now, I actually thought that the Japanese Prime Minister remarks were a little bit more worrying and more controversial. And over the intervening month or two, it's bubbled up again as a diplomatic incident.
Yes, because really it came to the surface this week after a former Japanese ambassador to Australia penned an opinion piece in the Australian newspaper about this segment of this podcast, and he wasn't very impressed by it.
No, and he said that it was belittling of the Prime Minister to be, A, rude about a gift, and B, employ or evoke the Prime Minister's female attributes in a disrespectful way. I think that the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, got a bit carried away in this segment and said something most unwise, most unwise. And here's where we come into one of his most defining characteristics as a prime minister. He does not like to back down and he does not like to apologise. And so he and most of his front bench, including very significant female members of his front bench, have a united front on this particular issue, that nothing was meant, that the hand gesture didn't mean anything and that this is all a bit of a beat up.
Yeah, so Tanya Plibersek, she was on Seven's Sunrise alongside Barnaby Joyce. She was really defending him, as you say.
I completely disagree. I'm really glad that you played that because I think people can make their own minds up.
They have.
It was,
they have.
Hang on
Barnaby,
a sec, Barnaby.
Your leader did a podcast with a convicted criminal who kicked a police officer in the head. So I don't think you're on very strong ground on the podcast story.
Honestly, I sort of can't believe we're even having this conversation, but there you go. One interesting thing that's occurred after the intervention of the former Japanese ambassador, who broke what had hitherto been a discreet diplomatic silence about the incident, subsequently a diplomatic document from the current diplomatic infrastructure in Japan was made public via a drop to some media outlets saying that the issue had been beaten up and that it wasn't a significant diplomatic problem from the Japanese end. Now, where did this where did this document come from? Why did it suddenly become available? Nobody seems to know.
No, well, Angus Taylor wants to know. In fact, he wants the police to investigate who actually leaked this information to some of the press.
Yes, and that's an extremely time-honoured opposition tactic where you say, there's clearly been a federal crime. Somebody has leaked this highly secret document. Let us have the police find out who that is, in the hopes that the police indeed will investigate and find that it came from the Prime Minister's office, which is absolutely what is being suggested, implied by the opposition. Do I think that the AFP are going to make a surprise raid on the PM's office? I'd be very surprised.
Well, Annabelle, the Prime Minister, he has been asked repeatedly this week about this matter in Question Time.
The Prime Minister made a series of foul-mouthed, classless comments about women.
Why won't the Prime Minister stop treating us like fools, man up, and say sorry to the Prime Minister of Japan?
Order.
The Prime Minister of Japan is a good friend of Australia. Prime Minister Takeuchi is the third Japanese Prime Minister I have had dealings with. All of them have been constructive.
But what somewhat of a reprieve came for him, I suppose, when Japan's current ambassador intervened with a statement. Just tell me about that and what did you make of it?
Well, diplomacy is always an extremely nebulous sort of business. You've got to kind of double read all the communiques.
Yes.
Communiques are often a special art of not saying exactly what happened. But clearly the Japanese government want to kind of calm this down. The Albanese government certainly wants to calm this down. So the line from the Japanese embassy is that they've been informed by the Australian government that Anthony Albanese did not make the comments in the way that they've been reported. Mm. There wasn't a line saying, and we accept that, it was just away you go. So I think, look, it is I would say if Anthony Albanese had his time again, I think he would choose his words differently. I think he would probably hold his arms to his sides. But this is the game you kind of get into when you do this stuff. You go into a podcast that's a popular podcast because you want to get in front of the faces or between the ears of a different group of people, and you're talking about different things. And then you make a headline about Kylie Minogue, and then that makes headlines because, frankly, it's easier to write about a headline featuring Kylie Minogue. You'll get more traffic on it than you will if you're writing an article about, you know, the subsidy of aluminium smelters. That's just a hard fact. And then it becomes an ongoing issue. It's blown up as a diplomatic one. I think, oddly enough, this story arc probably concludes not with a diplomatic crisis, but probably a slight sense of Labour unease about the Prime Minister's unwillingness to back down, even in the face of the bleeding obvious.
All right, well, Annabelle, let's consider what the Prime Minister was actually trying to achieve by going on this podcast in the first place. Why do you think he would have invited the podcast host into the lodge to sit down and drink whiskey for an interview that was almost 20 minutes long? I mean, he does not do that very often.
Look, it took us about 5 months to negotiate to get Kitchen Cabinet crew into the lodge. I was a bit surprised to see that the door was a little bit more open to all comers than I had suspected. Oh, look, you know, I genuinely cannot explain what the rationale was for going on that podcast. It seemed to me, and granted I'm the regular listener, so maybe it's huger than I think it is, but it seems like high risk for not certain return. But I mean, this is the situation that political figures now find themselves in. They don't have a ready-made national audience just waiting to hear the pearls drop from their lips. You know, they've got to find voters and constituents and citizens wherever they're gathering. And increasingly they're gathering around podcasters, around influencers. And so if they're doing their democratic duty, they've got to go and find these people and address them. But of course, it is a risk. There is a risk when you find yourself in a slightly foreign environment that you adapt to match the standards and the vibe and the tone of that environment in a way that will be tacky or clumsy or actively offensive when removed from that environment. And that's why you've got to be kind of active on about 10 intellectual levels at once when you're attempting something like this.
And, well, Annabelle, it's not the first time the Prime Minister has been caught wrong-footed.
Look, there are a couple of instances where the PM, I think, has been caught out when he's playing on an away ground, if you know what I mean. Like when you step onto somebody else's territory, whether it's their podcast or whether it's their event, you know, you can kind of get a little bit thrown off your game. And so a recent example, I guess, would be when he was drawn into a quick-fire, rapid-fire game with the Herald Sun, where they were throwing questions at him and asking him for one-word responses. He was asked about Grace Tame and he said, difficult.
Pauline Hanson.
Divisive.
Australia Day.
Great.
Grace Tame.
Difficult.
And then, of course, we all remember what happened after that. It was a poorly chosen word. But I also remember 2 years ago when the Prime Minister attended a rally. It was a violence against women rally in Canberra. And then there was all this pressure from the rally attendees for him to speak, but he didn't want to speak. And then he kind of got into a back and forth and an argument with the rally organiser. The whole thing was super awkward.
To be clear, we did ask to speak, myself and Katie, and were told that that wasn't possible, and that's fine. I respect the organisers' right to do that.
And I think even with the best of intentions, you can end up getting yourself into hot water, and I think that that is absolutely what's happened in this podcast too.
All right, well, Annabelle, it's being dubbed Melon Gate, but I mean,
I'm sure it has.
Do you think it has been overblown in a sense, or could this actually be harmful for the Prime Minister? What do you think?
Do I think it's going to destroy our relationship with Japan? No. Mm-hmm. Do I think that people walk away from it with a sense that the Prime Minister's a sexist creep? No. Mm-hmm. I think it's a story that has hovered around because there's not nothing there. It's a misjudgment, I think. Probably politically the most significant thing that you would read out of it is the Prime Minister's utter refusal to give an inch on this. Just think, most people, if they were bothered, would look at that exchange and think, oh, yeah, that's a bit unfortunate. The Prime Minister's chosen line is, nothing to see here, you're all making it up. And I wonder if that probably is the most awkward thing in the end.
Annabel Crabb is an ABC writer and presenter. You can watch her new series of Kitchen Cabinet on ABC TV on Tuesdays at 8:30pm or on iView. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peed. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.